You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
Welcome to Columbia Calling. This is episode 282 of the podcast, the original podcast about Columbia in English. I'm your host, Richard McCall, here back in Bogota. Yes, I've been away for a few weeks, but we're back and hitting the ground running and continuing this long-running podcast, 282 episodes strong. Plenty of people lined up for future episodes. And yes, this week we'll be talking to repeat interviewees and repeat guests on this show. You'll remember them from other episodes each year for the last 4 years, more or less, 4.5 years, could you imagine? So you'll know, of course, about La Leyenda, the mountain bike race that we have talked about here previously. That's La Leyenda del Dorado, but it's just known as La Leyenda now. And we'll be talking to the race founder, Brian Murphy, and his comms manager, Dave Proctor, who are there in Cali at the moment. And we'll be asking them about what are the new things? How is this race, the fourth edition, evolved, and what are they offering? And so it's always a great conversation with these guys who've really put something together which is unique in Colombia, and you know, has been a massive undertaking and is a phenomenal success. So I'm going to sign off and leave you in the capable hands of the director of Columbia Reports, Adrian Alsamer, who will give you this week's news update from Medellin about Colombia. So don't go away. I'll be back in the third segment talking to Brian Murphy and to Dave Proctor. Thank you for listening.
My name is Adrian Alsamer, and this is the news for Columbia Calling for July 16, 2019. U.S. authorities extradited former Agriculture Minister Andres Felipe Arias on Friday. The former minister fled the country in 2014, days before the Supreme Court sentenced him to 17 years in prison for embezzling $25 million. At least three generals were removed from their position in the National Army, and 12 officers were arrested in an anti-corruption purge. Among the generals are the Army second-in-command and the counterintelligence chief. The corruption was revealed by Weekly Semana last week and caused major uproar. The key witness who linked banking conglomerate Grupo Aval to the Odebrecht bribery scandal was murdered, according to his family's attorney. The claim contradicts former chief prosecutor Nestor Humberto Martinez, who ruled out that the cyanide poisoning was homicide. According to Martinez, witness Jorge Enrique Pensano and his son died respectively in a suicide attempt and an accident. Tennis players Juan Sebastián Cabal and Robert Farah made sports history on Saturday when they won Colombia's first ever Wimbledon title. The duo beat Nicolas Mahut and Edouard Roger Vasselin from France in the men's doubles final. The victory is the first Grand Slam title in the career of the two sportsmen. The prosecution's internal investigations chief was the victim of an assassination attack, reported Weekly Semana. Among many other things, prosecutor Marcela Yepes found that audio recordings that would link former President Alvaro Uribe to a death squad had been manipulated. The reported tampering of evidence in the Uribe case adds the indication that corrupt prosecutions have been involved in all kinds of criminal activity. The United Nations Security Council visited Colombia this week in an attempt to give the country's troubled peace process high-profile diplomatic support. The ambassadors met with President Iván Duque, demobilized FARC guerrillas, the presidents of the transitional justice system, and activists who are trying to promote the peace process. Duca asked the ambassadors to allow observers whose mandate was to end in September to continue monitoring the peace process for another year. That's the end of this week's news bulletin. Now back to Colombia Calling with Richard McCall.
It's that time of the week again, folks. This is Colombia Calling, third segment of episode 282 of the Colombia Calling podcast. I'm back in Colombia after a very nice break in London and Scotland and Scotland's Highlands. And now we're back here, back in the grind in Colombia. So a thank you to Adrian Alsamer of Colombia Reports for his segment on the news. And of course, for his appearance last week, talking about what he believes to be the 21st century revolution. Anyway, this week we have very special guests. They come on each year to talk about how far they've come and what is going on with La Leyenda. Those of you who listen to the podcast will know what I'm talking about. La Leyenda is a mountain bike multi-stage race, the only mountain biking race in Colombia of its kind. And of course, it's been widely well received, and indeed it's going from strength to strength. And one of the things I like is that they keep on evolving to include new places and new concepts. And we'll be talking to Brian Murphy, who's the race founder, and of course Dave Proctor, who is the comms manager for La Leyenda. Of course, the full name is La Leyenda of El Dorado, but now it's just become La Leyenda, and it goes from strength to strength. It's one of those good news stories here on Colombia Calling about people doing stuff here in Colombia and making things happen and making, really, really engendering change. We've been, this is the fourth edition of the race, and we've been talking to the guys since four and a half years ago when it was just a sort of a muddled idea, a zygote, let's say, in their minds. It was something they wanted to do. And now look at them. It's an internationally recognized and certified race in Colombia. So, well, before I start nattering on too much, it's time to pass you over to Brian and to Dave to, well, give us the updates and what is going on with La Leyenda this year. So over to you guys, and welcome on Colombia Calling.
Richard, it's always an absolute pleasure for us to come on. It's usually we have these little get-togethers a couple of weeks before we kick off the, which is, as you said correctly, this is our fourth edition this year. So three editions in, this is our fourth, and very, very excited, and can't wait to hear the starting pistol on Sunday in Manizales. But it's a very, very exciting time in more ways than one. We're all super excited.
Indeed. And I think one of the things I really want to emphasize here is how you guys have a long-term plan. It's not as if you rest on your laurels and are saying, well, the mountain bike race, La Leyenda, it's done. It can run like this for the next 25 years. We've got the right athletes. We've got the sponsorship. The local people are behind it. You guys keep on growing and keep on improving and evolving. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we always try and spice it up a bit. And I know that Dave, when he comes online, he'll talk more in detail about the route for this year. So I don't really want to steal his thunder, but we've got some excellent news with regards to this year's race route up through the volcano. We've got a slightly different take on that, which is very special, which Dave will open up on. But then we changed from last year. I mean, sometimes we change because we want to spice it up a bit. Sometimes we spice it up. We take feedback from riders. And last year, stage three, day two, or was it actually? No. So my apologies. It was day three, stage two. We had an incredibly wet day, and it really had an impact on a lot of riders. It was brutal conditions. It was super, super, super tough. And I take my hat off to every one of the racers who got through that. But it made us think twice about that particular sector. So we've changed it. So there's a couple of reasons why we want to change. We want to make it more interesting. And we also want to make sure we take it to within the region we are at the moment, Caldas. The first time last year was when we went into a place that some people will know called Neira. The municipality is absolutely wonderful. We've just opened as part of our social responsibility, we've just opened a brand new classroom there, which we'll speak about more later. But Neira was, like Salamina, they're towns that aren't really on the dusty road of tourism. They're not the ones that, even though it's coffee zone, there's more popular places that people are pointing in the direction of. Whereas Salamina, we've opened that up. We've seen Salamina change over the last years that we've been going there, more popular, more restaurants, more B&Bs, more hotels opening. So we've left a footprint there, and even with neighbours, last year was absolutely amazing. I mean, I thought it couldn't get any better than Salamina with the approach into town with all the pros and amateurs. But Neira just blew me away last year, and everyone was overwhelmed with it. So yeah, we try and change. We try and listen to feedback. We benchmark against other races around the world to see what they're doing, because we're obligated to do that, because we want to make sure that Colombia has what we believe is up there with the best of the big boys. And we've done that year after year. Our numbers have grown, and it's nice when. Early this year, I was over with the UCI folks over in Edler in Switzerland, just outside Montreux, and the feedback from there is that we've got a great race. It's well liked, and as I said before, it's Colombian homegrown. It's to this day, I still sometimes people don't actually believe that we are a Colombian company. Believe it or not, after three editions and road showing around the country. People still think that it's a group of gringos that run it, and we live between Colombia and Europe, which is so far from the truth. I mean, the whole team is embedded, and obviously there's a much more, there's a vast team of people that come together for race day and race start. But no, we're a born and bred Colombian legal entity, and what we do, as we've said on these calls many times before, is that it's all about Colombia. What we do through Valiendo, whether it's our social responsibility projects, and this is close to your heart as well, Richard. I know that what you've done in the tourism industry as well, it does take sometimes overseas folks to come over to create things that are different and special and you know, use our position of the place we come from to try and pitch Colombia for what it really is, which is a positive country with great landscapes, wonderful people, that's been through a lot of tough times, and the country's changing. We're not political by any stretch of the imagination, but we've seen change, and you've seen changes over the years that you've been here, and I've seen change. Majority of it is for the better. There are some things that are, you know, we could have a view on, but at the end of the day, generally speaking, we're in the right direction. And looking at it as a positive from tourism, as you see yourself directly in that industry, is tourism is picking up year after year after year. There's a clear mantra now from the current government that tourism is a huge benefactor towards economic growth. What we're trying to do is we're trying to encapsulate both sport and tourism. They're key, and we want to build that sector. And that's one of the responsibilities of us at La Leyenda is helping Colombia to learn about sports sponsorship, to understand how to promote events so that we're not actually funding people to come to Colombia. They're paying their way. And that's one of the beauties of La Leyenda is that we've got an audience of people who are quite willing to fly from South Africa, Australia, New Zealand, the Far East, South America, Central America, North America, all over the world. 34 countries to date have come to visit us on the race paying their way, which is a testament to the hard work of the team and everybody involved. I think you touched on it. It's I remember that first interview. I mean, the uncertainty of what we were trying to achieve and how we were going to achieve it in a country that was known to us, but not from a business or a logistics perspective. And through that hard work, that due diligence, that passion, we're about to launch our fourth edition, which is super special for the team, but more importantly, super special for Colombia. I'm very, very proud. Likewise, the whole of the team. we are all proud of what we've achieved, and it's a good news story for Colombia. It puts us on a map in the project.
Brian, I want to wind back a little bit on this one, and I want to hear more about your projects for the social responsibility. Obviously, you're putting something back, not just the race, you know, you are the race founder and so on, but you're putting back into these towns. And when we talk about these towns, I wanted to bring this up as well. You are, you know, choosing different places, perhaps not wholly and fully on the tourism circuit. We take Salento, for example, and it's, you know, a huge destination now. Salamina, as you mentioned, is increasing with its restaurants, but it really wasn't on the main route. But you kind of put it there, of course, with this race. And now you're talking about this town, Neira, which I don't know anything about. But you're giving the local people the opportunity to grasp this with their own hands and put themselves on the map and say, you know, we are here too. We can offer what they can offer, and we have the authenticity. And, you know, they will back this race to the hilt. This opportunity that you're giving them, and also this opportunity to provide their town with an audience, isn't it? It's very exciting indeed.
Yeah, I think that a very good. Where do we start with that? Absolutely. The idea is that having travelled through Colombia extensively, and everybody in the team has travelled through Colombia extensively. And as you said there, let's draw a simile between, let's say, Salento and Salamina. Having gone to Salento in the early days, it was wonderful. It had to progress and develop, and it's developed to what it is now, which is it's one of those bucket list or tick box items on the dusty road in the coffee triangle, which is easy. That's all well and dandy, but from a Colombian perspective, there's as you touched on, there's amazing towns that are just untapped. Because it takes a little bit of entrepreneurialism to take something there that brings people to switch the light on, as we say in the team, is put the light on somewhere. And Neira is the classic example. And there's 1,001 places in Colombia, like Salamina, like Neira, where we have a direct responsibility to take La Leyenda to promote that particular area, region, for whatever it is they're good at. And that might not just be mountain biking. That could be something unique in a farming process or something that's culturally diverse. But absolutely, we've got a clear agenda ahead of us now, looking towards the next 3 years, where we definitely want to take the race through different departments. And then obviously we want Neiras all over Colombia, where we can do what we plan to do, which was to promote and enable folks to put their town on the map and be proud of it. You go to somewhere like Neira, every little town you go to, you meet the mayor, everybody is so proud of their town. And they prove that by coming out in their thousands. When we go through their town, it's still stuns me. And there are emotional times when I'm in Salamina, sitting in the square, and I watch it all going on. I sit in Neira, and it pulls your heartstrings. I'm so proud of that, and so proud that Colombia has grabbed it with both hands, and they love it. And let's take that elsewhere. Absolutely, let's take that around Colombia.
So, Brian, I understand then you mentioned earlier, and there'll be more mention of it later, I'm sure. But tell us about these one-day events and the different places, and perhaps you moving a little bit beyond Caldas, the department where it all began. You're thinking of one-day events in other parts of the country. I think that's for 2020, if I'm not mistaken. Of course, this is not going to move away from the original and authentic, nature of La Leyenda, but you need to, I guess, you're varying the offer and opening it up to an even bigger audience and widening it, broadening it across Colombia. This is quite exciting.
I look at it and go, absolutely. We've always had it so that we were going to move, or we were considering moving to other areas. But what we had to do was we had to make sure that our operation was slick. I think the key thing was building the team. And I think over the last three editions, what we've done is we've built a team, not just the core team, but the wider team. So, for instance, I think that on race week, we have staff up to around about 140 people that come on our shebang with us. So we had to make sure we fine-tuned that. We built the relationships with our sponsors and partners. And now that we've got that security and we've built that back-end function, now's the time where we've started to say, okay, what are we going to do? And so, for instance, we are, and Dave will open up on this later, we're looking at a one-day series to go around Colombia, whereby we'll have a one-day race that is accessible both from an economic perspective and also from a physical perspective. La Leyenda, the big race, is a challenge. It's not a challenge that everybody can do, but with the right training and the right passion dedication, you can get yourself through it. But we want to make La Leyenda more accessible, and then we're going to release one-day races. So I think we've got about three coming up next year. So when we were discussing that, we had to look at other areas, and we're looking around now, and you know, we've got a few irons in the fire, so to speak, but nothing's confirmed yet. Because we want to make sure, like we've done all the time, we take things very, very seriously, slowly, cautiously, because at the end of the day, what we don't want to do, not from a personal perspective, as in compromising what we've done as a team, but we don't want to compromise the race that makes us look bad in Colombia, because we've got a great race. We do it really, really well. We've got great staff. We're up there with the big boys all around the world, your Cape Epics, your Swiss Epics. You know, we've had riders from those races that have come to us and said, what you're doing is amazing, and Colombia is a truly amazing country. So we can't compromise that. But a direct answer to your question, yes, of course, we're looking at other regions and we're seeing where we can go based on how we do things at the moment. But I think more news will come out of that over the next month or so. And then you mentioned the three-year plan. Actually, the three-year plan is a little bit longer than that. That's our short-term window. which we won't go into, but for the next 3 years, yes, we've got to bring this this wonderful event and let other people in other departments jump on the bandwagon and make good of it.
Tell us more about Neira, the town there, and of course the school. The room, the addition that you've been building there. Tell us about this and the story behind it, please.
So what happened with Neira was that we went through Neira, the municipality, last year, and there was a couple of guys that were on the race, a guy called Koki from, I think, Argentina. And what happened was we were in Tamales Otoño, and Koki went up to my brother-in-law. Said, look, hey man, I was moved by just Neira, and I want to, and I think it was the fact that he saw so many children there screaming and shouting and encouraging the riders on that last 50 meters up the steepest of hills you ever want to ride in your life, a tough one. I want to pay something back, and he had some dollars on him, and they were handed over, and we don't, from our perspective, we'd done other projects before with regards to inviting riders, or we brought I think in years one and two we brought two guys over from Songo, so two riders from a township just outside Stellenbosch that's connected to Christoph Sauser. So we'd always wanted to do the right thing, but okay, so we took that and we came up with the idea of a school. So we knew a school on the route, Diego Velasquez, and Dave went up there with Diego, and it started. They said, look, we've got some space for a classroom. Okay, go and build it. So we brought our partners together, our sponsors together. We put some money in as well. And just recently we had the mayor up there, the governor up there. And we opened a new classroom. And get this. So the classroom was built in such a way that we built the ground floor, but it's actually extendable. They built it in such a way that if they want to put another floor on it, they can actually put two more floors on it, Richard. How about that? Isn't it cool? People knock Colombia, you know? People do knock Colombia, but that I'd never seen that before, that forward thinking. So maybe, just maybe, next year we'll put a second floor on the darn thing. Away you go.
What a phenomenal story. What a really great good news story coming out of Colombia and bringing a sport to thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, here in Colombia, and promoting our adopted homeland in such a positive fashion. It's, you know, it makes for a really nice break for me to talk about something so positive and not, you know, the politics of the country, and that we can steer clear of this. We're just doing our things here in Colombia. And so, you know, congratulations to you, Brian Murphy, race founder, and all of the, you know, the effort and the sleepless nights and undoubtedly the gray hairs that you've developed, you know, putting this together. You know, it's a massive undertaking. And it's been so successful.
Thank you, Richard. And I just want to wish you boys all the best for next season. I know you're a big Watford fan, and I know we've spoken about it on a couple of occasions. It's a place I've always liked going to with my club, Bristol City. But thanks for the kind words you give today. And just want to think, good luck for the season, but would love to see you down at the race one day. Get yourself down to... I know you're flat out, but one day when you've got time, come down for a little day and we'll get you on a bike and you can ride a little bit of the route and be part of legend and wear the t-shirt with pride, my man.
Well, I promise to do so, of course. I'm not going to ride a lot of your course, but I'll do a downhill segment. And of course, I will accept a t-shirt as payment and as bribery and so on, because, you know, we've got to support one another in these ventures. Although I don't think you need a lot of support. You guys are just, you know, really going from strength to strength. So congratulations again, Brian.
We'll have to take you up the car first. Yes, no problem.
Well, that's been us talking to Brian Murphy, of course, the race founder of La Leyenda, and, you know, giving us the good news story for Colombia and the mountain biking as a sport and this multi-stage mountain bike race that he launched, you know, an idea several years ago that's come into fruition and now is a great success. And of course, now we'll say farewell to Brian and, get on the line with Dave Proctor, who is, of course, the comms manager for this. And of course, Dave has been involved in La Leyenda from the very beginnings as well. And so he's going to give us some of the cold, hard facts from a comms perspective, of course, about what is going on with La Leyenda and what is new this year and what's exciting. Dave, welcome back on Colombia Calling.
Hello, Richard. Yeah, thanks for having us on once again. I think I said last year, these moments are always, you always reflect on the last year, what's happened, how we've grown and so on. And it's, I really enjoy these calls. Thanks for having us on. And so we've got 2 weeks to go until the race this year. So it's all action stations, WhatsApp's going nonstop at the moment. So this is when it all comes together. But as I've said before, this is why we do it. We don't do it to write emails in October and November. You do it to be at the action end of things. And this is the exciting time of the year for us.
Dave, tell us more about the facts. How many people, how many stages, what's new, who's coming? You know, the people out there who are mountain bike aficionados will know all of this, but my listeners need to know, you know, some of the basics again. Of course, they could go back a year and listen to last year's one, but this year's new. So tell us some more of the updates.
Okay, and so this year we have, once again, a 7-stage route. Okay, so it's based in the department of Caldas. We start and finish in Manizales. We've changed the route slightly this year. So we spend the first two nights in Narashel, what we've been the last 2 years. We changed the stage two to go through kilometer 41, which has got this incredible bridge over the Cauca River, one of the biggest rivers in Colombia. We're based in Salamina again for the middle of the race. Then we go towards Neira, which is where we think about 5,000 people on the streets last year for probably people said the best ever arrival we've ever had in the race. It was stunning, which was the inspiration behind the classroom project that Brian mentioned earlier. And then this year, the big change is the new queen stage. So Volcano was always a queen stage, but now this is Super Volcano. We're taking the race up to 4,700 meters on Nevado de Ruiz through the national park. We got a unique permission, a special permission from the Colombian National Parks Authority to take the races into the national park and up to the crater of the volcano at 4,700 meters. It is absolutely stunning scenery. It's very, very hard to get permission to go up there, even more so with an event like La Leyenda. So we're honored to be able to go through such scenery. it'll be, if the weather's great, it'll be definitely the most spectacular stage we've ever done, in the words of our race director, Rowan. And then we finish with stage six, in just on the outskirts of Manizales in Bosque Popular. So it's a change this year. Last year we finished in the square, but we wanted to create a bit more of a sort of carnival atmosphere in the park, Bosque Popular, where they've done the national championships, and they had an Enduro World Series event there last year, where we're sure we can have thousands of people out. And we finish actually with sort of like a Formula One style race at the end, where the amateurs are going to leave first and finish first, and then the pros are going to leave about 2 hours later. So the idea is that everyone should be at the finish with all the thousands of spectators and the riders watching the pros ride their three circuits of the 4 kilometer track there. And who knows, maybe the GC will be decided in those three laps. So it'll be very exciting end to the race.
Remind us of, you know, what races you have. I mean, are they split between men's race, women's race, and how many you've got signed up? Is this a bigger year than ever?
So we've got 250 riders this year. We've got, I think, 23 countries represented altogether. I think that takes up to 34 since we started La Leyenda, which is, we're very proud to have brought all these people to Colombia. As I've said before, so the race is about 10% amateur races, 10% professional, sorry, and about 90% amateurs. So the professionals, it's their job. They race around the world, of which the most famous racer we have this year is Christoph Sauser, who's raced twice before La Leyenda, and he's four-time world champion from Switzerland. Christoph Sauser actually came to Colombia for the first time as part of La Leyenda 3 years ago, and he's since started a coffee business. He loves Colombia that much. Horizonte Coffee, as well as our other pro riders. We've got Diego Tamayo, who's a local rider from Caldas, who lives in Spain, actually. Jonathan Botero, who finished fifth in the Olympic Games in 2016 in Rio. He's from Medellin. He's racing. Monica Calderon, the champion, the ladies champion from last year. So pro riders has been is great again. But obviously the race is not just about them. It's about the amateurs, that the stories that come out from these people that take it on are wonderful. And we have people that take on the race that have amputees, that have maybe overcome serious illnesses. And for a lot of these people, just to finish the race is their goal. And the emotions that come out when they do finish the race is amazing. We've got two cancer survivors this year. And it's when we started out with the idea of La Leyenda, we never thought this would happen. But when people write to us, they say, oh, you know, La Leyenda is my goal 2 years ago. I was suffering from this disease, or I had this accident, and this has been my goal to finish this race ever since then. That really touches your heart, and you think, wow, you know, we're part of something, part of sort of positive change, and just really being a good thing in the world. Yeah, exactly. It's amazing to reflect on this. I mean, it was we started out on the journey with Brian. Obviously, when Brian came to me 5 years ago and said this was his dream, you thought, I think, oh yeah, that's cool. Let's join that.
Is that really what you thought, though?
Well, yeah.
I've heard of it. One crazy thing to do.
Makes you really appreciate sort of how far we've come, and yeah. Been a lot of hard work from the whole team. And we're on the verge of our fourth race. We've got plans for a bigger event over the next couple of years, more events around Colombia. And that's the thing. We want Colombians to feel proud of the race. The race is not just for foreigners. We want Colombians to be part of the race. We want to showcase Colombia as a place to come, to visit for more people, place to do business. And it's about showing Colombia, not just La Leyenda, showing Colombia to the wider world.
Now, I feel, you know, about showing Colombia to the wider world, and I feel I need to interject my podcast, after all, and give you, you know, a little bit of background here. Of course, I have my business in Mompós, and we're going to open another one soon. And when we started 11 odd years ago, bought a house front of the river, Mompós, Colombia was clawing with its nails for tourism. Everybody looked at this gringo like a, you know, just a mad person. Why would you gamble on this? Why would you invest in this place? What are you doing? And now, of course, 11 years later, people are going, oh, why didn't we think of this? And why don't we do something? Why does it have to be the foreigner who does this? And of course, we've got a, you know, a success story on our hands. So sometimes it just feels, I don't know exactly what to put my finger on, or how I can put my finger on how it feels. But you sort of, there's a little disappointment there, isn't it?
Brian's the one to answer that.
No, I can almost feel, I can feel the happiness when you say that, but I can also feel the pain that you've been through. So it's amazing when people, it's a tough journey, Richard. You know, it's not easy, and it does take mad dogs and Englishmen and Irishmen and Europeans. It does. I think that's what we bring to the table, is a little bit of confidence. And I wrote in a newsletter recently was that I think one of the most important jobs that we can do, and yourself as well, is you say to folks, you know, you've got something very special here. And Colombians are hugely proud when you tell them that. So I've had grown men cry in front of me when I've told them how much I love Colombia, because they've been somewhat alienated from the outside world, and their perception is the negative perception, which is, we all know, it's fundamentally wrong. But when people from overseas come over and say, no, we believe in the country, we're doing good, you do get it. But it's still that, we still get it now as people scratching their heads going, what's this all about? And why are you doing this? Yeah. Why are you doing this? I mean, but when you get through it and you can sit back and have a cold beer and look at what achievements have been made, as I said before, and I'll say again, and Dave's right next to me, it's a very proud feeling when you've been there and done it, especially doing business in Latin America. It's not the easiest thing to do by any stretch of the imagination. There's many hurdles to overcome. So, you know it. You've been through it yourself. And you're opening up, you just mentioned you're opening up a second hotel. Wow.
Well,
you're going to be the next big cheese when it comes to hotels. And if we go to your area, will we get a 50% reduction on hotel rooms, Richard? So I'm sure we can come to an agreement over a roadshow.
I think a good thing to add is that we always try and think, how do people feel, especially, well, not just the Colombians, the people that come from abroad, how do they feel when they come to Colombia for the first time?
Yeah.
Obviously, organising this, and you go to these areas a few times a year, you sort of lose that novelty a little bit of Colombia. But when you see the reactions of people that come from around the world to just the friendliness of the Colombian people, the feedback we get from them of just how stunning the country is. I mean, we're going up to 4,700 metres this year. We've gone through these stunning, beautiful colonial towns, Salamina again, we're going to Neira. You forget how you felt the first time when we rode our bikes through there. And it's really nice to speak to these people in the interviews, and they say, wow, this country is truly stunning. I've travelled the world. I've been here, I've been there, but I've never seen anything like I've seen in 1 week in one department of Colombia. And I think that's something very special that the country has that we just want to make the most of and show to as many people as we can.
I think it's all about, if you take a little bit of belief and a bit of that Colombian passion, I think anything's achievable. And it's having that belief and that passion. And once you do that, and you get everybody on board, it can happen. It's getting that buy-in. It's the tough bit because, as you said before, Colombia's been through a very, very tough time. It's coming out the other side of it now. And isn't it just a pleasure to be involved in the business that we're in, Richard, that we can proudly say we've done our little bit for Colombia? It's to have that opportunity is very, very special, very, very valuable. I'm speaking for everybody in our team. That is immensely proud for everybody. And for yourself, no doubt.
It's kind of like you need to step back, don't you, and remember when it was the first time you came to Colombia, and step back and look at where you are and the countryside and so on. But when we talk about what we were laughing about just now, of course, I think we can come to some sort of an agreement, of course, but I think maybe you're going to need to bring La Leyenda to the Costa and up through the flat, sweltering wetlands of Mompós before I can really strike a deal with you. Okay, so, you know, we need to remember who's who and how we can help one another. What do you think about that?
It's actually often a team, what we do is we say, take a step back and take a checkpoint of where you are, because when you're involved with it day to day, and some of the negative things you go through can sort of can been negative and it's a bit of a downer, but actually when you look back and you sit back and you look at what you've achieved, sometimes you miss it. It's really easy to miss that. And sometimes there's nothing better when folks from outside say, congratulations, well done. It's a tearjerker, that one. When people come to shake hands in NAIRA that you've never met before and say, and even sometimes I'll say thank you in English. It's humble things like that are very special. They're priceless, aren't they? That's when you realise about the pounds, shillings and pence. It's about the legacy that you're leaving, and that's what we get the enjoyment out of. And as I said before, it's amazing, isn't it? It's a great feeling. Great feeling.
So for those of us who are not going to be in the coffee zone and can't get out there for, you know, any day or stage of the race, where can we check all of this out, Dave, from a comms perspective? What should we be looking at? I'm sure you're on Twitter, you've got a website, Instagram, so on and so forth. But give us the social media ills that we need to follow.
Yep. So obviously, from my point of view, the comms perspective, if people want to follow the race, obviously on the website and all our social media, there'll be updates all along, all through the race. After the race, so we open registrations for 2020 on the Monday straight after the race, on Monday the 5th of August. And there'll be news coming probably September time around the Leyenda series. So that'll be three cities in 2020 all around Colombia. We are defining the details right now, but there'll be one day event. So obviously Leyenda 7 days, we know it's sometimes difficult for people to get time off work if they've got to come from abroad. Well, we understand that, but the idea is a one day event on a weekend, two routes, an amateur, both for amateurs, an easier route, a more difficult route. And the idea is that gets people into mountain biking. The idea is that if you do Leyenda series event in 2020, who knows, in 2021 or 2022, you might think, oh, that's my goal to do the 7 day event. So, because everyone has to start mountain biking or cycling or any sport somewhere, and we want to be as inclusive as possible, accessible prices, based around Colombia. So we think, as opposed to having just one event for 200-300 people, we've got three events of 500-1,000 people around the year. And it gets more people into Leyenda, more people cycling, which is what we want to grow mountain biking in this country.
More people to get that T-shirt that they absolutely love. Yeah. I just want to say thanks as well for always your interest in our endeavours. It's always nice to come onto the show and have a direct message and direct line out to your listeners. And I know there's many, 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 many thousands of those folks. And it's just nice to talk about the good stuff. And be asked about what it is we've done and what we've achieved. So thank you there, mate.
Founder of La Leyenda and Dave Proctor, comms manager for the race as well. This is a good news story coming out of Colombia. We love to report on good news stories. You know, we tell the good, we tell the bad, we tell the indifferent here on Colombia Calling, but it's so great to have people really doing something so tangible and visible in the country, such as these guys and their team. Of course, La Leyenda has gone from strength to strength, and I urge all of you to check out the website and all of their social media links, because this is something we can all do something, you know, a little, put something back, give something back to Colombia. So that's us signing off for this week. And next week, we've got a very interesting interviewee in the pipeline. We'll be talking about health, something to do with health. I can't give you all of the information right now. Just dangle that little temptation before you. But we'll be talking about health and tropical diseases. And of course, if you need to get in touch with us, that's columbiacalling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at Columbia Calling and Facebook as well. This has been episode 282, and we'll be back next week. And please continue to listen and pass on the word about Columbia Calling. I've been your host, Richard McCall. Thank you and goodbye.